Peace to you all, and welcome to the Berean Bible Study. Again, I said I was continuing the study of things in Jude. I thought this study would be quickly, I'd go through these points, but, you know, in talking about them, perhaps I've been taking a little longer than I should, but I hope that you've been able to see some wonderful principles from God's Word, not from me, but from God's Word, and your study of it through you looking into the Bible and choosing and deciding to study, to show thyself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, because, you know, even though, you know, they have this teaching ministry here and other places on the net, it's really up to us to study and rightly divide the word of truth and not depend on each other and man, but we can be helpful to each other and be helpful to look into the Bible. But it's up to us to look into those things of God and study the word of God. And that's going to be the emphasis of all of these studies, I think, in the Berean Bible studies and in other studies that rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible is emphasized, and we should always put that first. Okay, we've been talking about the general epistle of Jude. Now, in this general epistle of Jude, there is the section that I've been that I will be talking about for the next few weeks, and in addressing this particular part, I'm doing backtracking somewhat. I talked about several weeks back a part about the apostles and the association there, but what I should have talked about that at that time was, you know, being systematic. I should have had my, you know, my system of teaching correct and taught about that first point, the fact that they are called the beloved and the association there. Jude called them the beloved, and we've been looking into things related to that particular scripture and how it is associated with them. And the things we've been looking at involved the things related to the dispensational purpose of God in that association with them being the beloved as it relates to the context of Jude in the canon to which it belongs. Now, that's a long way of getting around the point. Let me just try to simplify it for you. What it is we've been looking at the way that they were called the beloved and what that meant in God's purpose for the kingdom and how that's different from what is to us. They are the beloved of the kingdom purpose of God, and we are the beloved of the body of Christ. And when we finish this particular portion of Jude, we'll go into the portion about the things that Paul says. Because when I was looking at this this particular subject, there was always in the Bible what I like to call a roadmap. And, you know, I heard someone mention it, and it was a good way to look at it. Roadmaps to understanding God's Word are in the context of the Scripture. With each association of them being called the beloved, there is a dispensational context. The same is with us, a dispensational context of being called the beloved. Now, let me read these Scriptures from Jude. It says here in Jude 17, 18, and 19. And I hope you have your Bible, folks. That's most and more important than listening to me, that you have your Bible and see if these things be so. That's what being related to the Bereans is about. It says here, "But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." Now, the point about this is he's calling them the beloved. And as we saw from the other scriptures, and we'll continue seeing, there is a dispensational context to Jude's group being called the beloved, as is the rest of the canon, Hebrews through Revelation. Jude is part of Hebrews through Revelation. That is the doctrine for the next point in God. It's the future, doctrine of the future. After God is through with his present dispensational purpose with us, he will go back to dealing with Israel and fulfilling all the things he promised them. Of course, there'll be the great tribulation, and then immediately after that, the kingdom that was prophesied, and all the things that relate to the doctrine of Jude and the rest of the letters, Hebrews through Revelation, involve that particular context. Now, when you look at Jude, call them the beloved, he tells them, as we saw, previously in weeks, he tells them to remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that context of the apostles having to do with the things that were delivered unto them, he says in verse 3, beloved, when I gave all salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, you see the context there? That was the faith, which is the doctrine of the kingdom that was delivered unto the 12 apostles, and they were to remember that. And in these three scriptures, there's a context in things that they are to remember it about. But you see here, it has to do with remembering the words of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this very point about them earnestly contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, and the association with their doctrine, it's similar to me to what is said in Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews for a second. Now, this all has to do with why they are called the beloved and the context in which they are called the beloved. I see a similarity here in what is said in Hebrews. It says here, let's go to Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Now notice what it says here. Hebrews is part of the same canon that Jude is. It's the doctrine for the future tribulation on this earth. It's not the doctrine for now. It's the doctrine that involves enduring to the end, enduring great trials and tribulations for Israel, the Hebrews. It involves things about them going through the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation. So notice what is said here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? That's that ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that was to the apostles. And so it carries out when you go to Jude chapter 3, he said that they should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, and to remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's that same context of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where the apostles came from, that is the advanced things of the kingdom purpose are taught to these people in Hebrews through Revelation, of which Jude is a canon. So they belong to the ministry of the 12 apostles of Israel. They are the beloved of God as it relates to the kingdom purpose of the Lord. And that's the whole point of it. The things that were written to them in the first century have been held back for the future, because God is not dealing with a favorite nation now. He's not dealing with a favorite people under covenants and under the law and under the things of a favorite nation promises and things like that. And he's not dealing with that particular program, because Israel as a nation rejected the ministry of the little flock. Remember, they weren't enough to be, there wasn't enough of that nation to be a holy nation that could be over all the other nations. I know 8,000, that's not a lot. It was greatly, a greatly vaster number of Jews than 8,000 Jews. And so that whole purpose had been put to the side. God knew it would happen. And when Israel rejected stone Stephen, he brought out a whole brand new apostle. God brought out a whole brand new apostleship and told this man the first order of business, as God told Ananias, the first order of business of the apostle Paul's ministry is Gentiles. Number one on the agenda. Unprecedented. It's a whole different purpose of God in the Apostle Paul's ministry, and it's of a whole different dispensational thing. So those saints of the early Acts period that were in Judea, who had all those kingdom Old Testament promises that they were going to be part of, look at what it says about the apostles themselves. Now notice, these ain't our apostles. Excuse my bad Texas English, but these ain't our apostles. Notice here, in Matthew chapter 19:28. Now notice what it says about those 12 guys chosen for the kingdom purpose. Matthew 19:28. I know these are familiar scriptures to who you who rightly divide, but perhaps by keeping them forward in our minds and in our attention, we can use these things to bring up to people. And perhaps there's someone in here who can see something by this. So Matthew 19:28. Let's see what he says to the 12 apostles and what they would be associated with. Matthew 19:28. Now it says here, and Jesus said unto them, I'll start at verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? We have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Peter asked. Verse 28. And Peter said, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging what? The 12 tribes of Israel. There's no Gentile purpose there. Of course, here's something to recognize, folks. For those who don't understand right division, Gentile salvation has been throughout the Bible. But there's been a dispensational purpose in that pathway of the Old Testament. Gentile salvation was through every nation. And that Old Testament accord. And of course, when Christ walked on the earth, the testator had not died at that time, Hebrews 9:15. The testator had not died at that time. So he was walking under the Old Testament administration dispensation. And so there was that the Gentile, the way the Gentile could get salvation of God and the things, a blessing of God, was through the favored nation, through honoring the favored nation, that they were dogs and the children were first and they should have wanted the crumbs from the master's table in Matthew 15 administration accord. So Gentiles had to bless Israel, honor the fact that Israel was first and they were dogs, and agree with God on the administrative purpose in order to get into God's will. They had to be the subject to that nation. Gentiles had to under that old plan. But when that nation rejected God's will, they couldn't go, you know, the 12, the little flock couldn't carry out that purpose. God couldn't carry out that purpose with them, and he knew what would happen. And you know what? He brought out this Apostle Paul with his whole new dispensational purpose, a dispensation of grace. Those Jewish saints died off in their kingdom hope. That's what happened to them. They had promises. Those 12 had promises that they'd sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They had things related to the kingdom promised to them, and so did the little flock. They had all that, and so they died off in that purpose. But at the same time, from Acts chapter 9, you see that excelling purpose of God in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and that's what's happening now. By Acts 28, there's no more dealing with a favored nation, no more need to deal with a favored nation. The salvation of God, because of the rejection of that for future, excuse me, because of the rejection of that past favored nation, verse Acts 28:28, the salvation of God is sent to Gentiles, and they shall hear it. That's a great point by God, that sent to Gentiles. That's something that is a dispensational purpose that was going on from the mid-Acts period is now in its full fruition from those times. The body of Christ started in mid-Acts with the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and Israel was set aside. The salvation of God is sent to Gentiles, and if Israel, a Jew from Israel, wants to get saved, guess what he has to do? It's a complete turnaround. He has to come to God the way the Gentiles have to come to God. So the salvation purpose of God has changed. We're in a dispensation of grace. But after we are caught up, which is the great mystery of purpose of God in the body of Christ, we're caught up to our heavenly calling. We don't have an earthly kingdom promised us. We don't have an earthly inheritance promised us. But Paul tells us of a glorious inheritance in heavenly places in Christ. And we looked at that, and we saw about that. So that's where we're going to. It's the mystery purpose, something God had never told before he gave it to Paul for this dispensation of grace. So after that happens, then God goes back to his purpose with the beloved of Israel in the great tribulation, where they will have to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. They were that kingdom purpose. They will be in the most terrible trial. Jeremiah 30, verses 5 through 7, you look at the description there of what's happening. It's a terrible, tense time for mankind, and it's going to be the time of Jacob's trouble. The time of Jacob's trouble. So you see that's what the tribulation purpose is about. It's about the time of Jacob's trouble. So when you look at Jude, that's the doctrine of the future. When you look at Hebrews through Revelation, it's the doctrine of the future on this earth, and it involves the very people of that first book, the Hebrews, the ones who God promised to be a nation above every nation. And so they'll go through that tribulation, and so Jude is the doctrine, and when he addresses the beloved in those books, Hebrews through Revelation, when we see Jude, it has to do with the apostles, the things that were taught by the 12 and Jesus' ministry and the doctrine of it in Hebrews through Revelation. The doctrine of the future, that doctrine of the future on this earth for for Israel, but it has to do with the great tribulation. So that's what the association with them being the beloved is. That's why they'll have to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And it was the doctrine that involved that walk, that the things that Christ taught the 12 apostles. Now, in this dispensation of grace, we are to recognize for God's purpose to us, there is the apostle of the Gentile, not 12 apostles, but the apostle of the Gentiles, the apostle Paul, in his present purpose now. And Paul says in Romans 11:13, he says, 11:13, he says, For I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am, what? I am the apostle of the Gentiles. So there's the one apostle of the Gentiles whose purpose was to fulfill God's word, and that's for us today. But these people will be under the different doctrine. All those writings that Peter, James, Jude, and John did that were held back from the first century from happening. We have the doctrine for it, of course. We can rightly divide it, of course. But all that is not being done now. That's not the will of God now. It will be in effect then in the future tribulation. And so, when Israel is in that great tribulation, looking forward to that kingdom promised them, the great purposes of that come down all through, that were no secret about, that came down all through the Old Testament, those that great purpose of God that was given to Israel, and Peter speaks of it, that great purpose of God that Peter speaks of that is toward Israel, not toward us, but toward Israel. Look at what he says about it in Acts 3:21. I'm teaching, you know, these some basic things, but, you know, I'm a very basic guy. I don't get the heavy stuff too much, but I can go to the basics of the scripture, and we can look at these, and I get excited about these things I've read again and again. Verse 21, whom Peter, speaking of that, of his accord, says, talking of Jesus Christ, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Things spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. No mystery there. I mean, since the world began, are the things that they're going to get involved, the things spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. So we see that there is no mystery there. It's a prophecy accord that belongs to the Old Testament, that goes back to the Old Testament things that are promised Israel about with them being first, that they'll be in the head and not the tail. They're being a nation above every nation. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 6, where they are a nation above every other nation. And it talks about that accord. Where Israel, all the things promised to them since the world began, no secret, no mystery, Israel's gone, you know, that's the things that God promised them, no mystery, no secret, all the prophets spoke about it since the world began. That's what's to Israel, things that all the prophets spoke about since the world began. And so, that's the accord of Hebrew through Revelation. It's the tribulation that was spoken of in those things of the Old Testament. Jeremiah speaks of the time of Jacob's troubling, and things in the Old Testament speak of that future time of terror on this earth. You go to Joel and other books and you'll see all the things about a terrible and notable day of the Lord. And it'll be, and so that will be the accord of Hebrews through Revelation, that terrible and notable day of the Lord, when all the, you know, when Israel receives the things that were spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. So I know that's a lot said there, but what it is that's not us. That's not what's to us. We're mystery people. And God makes sure that we know that we are mystery people. You know what establishes us in this dispensation of grace? It ain't things spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. It's not that that establishes a person today. You know what establishes a person? First and foremost, what Paul, let's go to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. I know I'm talking basic stuff. I'll find some way to get back to where I was going. I'm sorry, folks. Now, unto him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, Romans 16:25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, who's speaking here? And who has the audacity to say my gospel? By the very authority of God's word, the apostle Paul says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, comma. We'll stop at the comma right now because it's important that you see what's first. the gospel that Paul preached. That's what established you first. The next thing in establishment is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to, not according to all the things spoken by the holy prophets since the world began, but according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Now, having to do with the ministry of this apostle Paul. And so, last on that list is the rest of the Bible. Of course, you need to know what to rightly divide. You need to have what is to be rightly divided in order to rightly divide the word of truth. Of course, you have to have what you need to rightly divide. And that's all the scriptures that and what you need to rightly divide from the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, is the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Those things have to do with the frontiers and mystery. So you see there's an order in your establishment that doesn't involve you being a prophecy person. You must know what to rightly divide. So that's the purpose of God. That's why you need to understand. You know, we need to understand that when we look at Scripture, there's the preaching of things related to what all the holy prophets said since the world began, which was to Peter, and there's the things that were the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, that was given to Paul. There's a difference there that we need to acknowledge and say to God's word, yeah, that God is right in his word. He's 100% right in his word, and I need to honor that. I need to honor that there is some preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, and I need to know that it's different from the things that all the holy prophets talked about since the world began. And we need to honor that and rightly divide the word of truth. Honor God's word. So when we look into Hebrews through Revelation and Jude especially and see the people being called the beloved, it's good for us to learn from this. But God is not speaking to us. He's not talking to us. We're not in the great tribulation. So, you know, and you can go to Hebrews through Revelation. John is part of the same canon of Jude. And we looked at some scriptures from John the other day, and we'll continue today. And so what we'll look at is here in John. We went through these scriptures over these weeks. We went through the scriptures of Hebrews through Revelation, looking at the different ways in which their association as the beloved was scripturally identified with the administration of the kingdom toward Israel. I'm going to try to say it simpler. The things related to them are shown to be in a context in which it is talking to Israel and not us. And you can see that context when you choose to honor the roadmaps shown in the scripture that's telling you the who, what, when, where, and why of who's being addressed. And it's clearly shown. It's right there in front of your face when you look at it. And I could go through the scriptures we looked at over the weeks, but I'm not going to do that. I'll just take off where we left off. Okay. Now we were in John, and we addressed the differences in relation to last week. We addressed the difference in relation to the things that were the preaching of Jesus Christ and what they were to honor about Jesus Christ and their accord being their confession having to do with Jesus Christ was raised on from the dead to sit on David's throne, and we see how that lined up with Acts and Peter, and we see that to our belief and the truth to us is that not that he was raised to sit on David's throne, which is prophecy, but the truth to us is what Paul's gospel says, that he died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. The gospel which Paul, by the authority of God in God's word, says is my gospel. That gospel of the complete provision of God that is to us. Not a prophetic thing about him being raised to sit on David's throne and Christ being the Messiah for Israel. Not about that prophetic thing, but a gospel of the complete provision of the grace of God in the total work of Christ for our redemption, salvation, justification, all that good things, all those good words, those good old words you don't see in the dictionary today. And so that's the accord of God, that provision. He died for our sins. Wow, it becomes personal. Do you believe it? Did you trust that that's what he did? Well, if you do, you're saved by his complete grace. He provides your salvation because you believed in his total work, and he knows that the moment you believed in it, and you get to heaven, not by anything you do, not by your own abilities, but by the complete provision of God in a dispensation of grace, by him dying for your sins and being risen as your Savior. And if you haven't believed that before, now is the time to believe it. And we talked about that. Just believe it. And God will know it and save you eternally. And just trust in that the rest of your life. Walk in that truth and stand in that truth. And you know, it'll be a good thing. Study to show thyself approved based on that glorious truth that he died for your sins. You're not trying to work your way into a kingdom that's not even to you on this earth. That's worthless. Useless. But what's worthwhile for us is the provision of the dispensation of grace, that he did it all. And we trust that he did it all. Do you trust that? Do that. Just trust it. The moment you trust it, you'll have eternal life. He'll keep you in spite of yourself. And it's a good reason for us to walk in the things of God. Okay. But back to Hebrews through Revelation. Let's go back to Hebrews through Revelation, the doctrine of the future on this earth for Israel. Look, let's now from another context. I'm getting pop-ups popping all around my way up thing here. Excuse me, folks. Okay, let's go to John. Let's go to 1 John. Chapter 4, and we're going to look at the doctrine of love toward the saints of Israel. And I hope I can teach this correctly. And if I don't, please don't believe me. Believe your word of God. And I hope that I show this correctly to you, because that God's word is more important than me. Let's see here. John, 1 John chapter 4. Okay, let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. He starts calling them the beloved. They're the same beloved that Jude talks about. The beloved of the future tribulation on this earth. The beloved of Israel who will believe on Christ in the great tribulation. This is doctrine to them. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. That's what we looked at last week. And I'm sorry for reading it, but it has to do with a lot of things that have to do with, that's the basic things that I talked about in relation to last week's study. But in that same chapter, let's go to verse 7. They're called the beloved again. Now, in that accord that they belong to the administration of the kingdom to Israel, and they're in the great tribulation, look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Great scriptures for those kingdom saints, but it involves the purpose of God also. Let's go to verse 11. They're addressed in that same accord about the love. Beloved. Let's keep on from verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And let's go down to verse 11. And let's keep going. 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, these are great words about the love of God toward those kingdom saints. But there is an accord in here that is very important that we recognize in relation to these things. The accord is that it has to do with them being a close-knit group that stayed together in a terrible time of tribulation. And that was expressed in Acts in the first century, and Acts with those Hebrew saints under Peter's ministry and the 12's ministry, and it'll be the need and purpose for the great tribulation. When you see that scripture about them loving one another, there's an accord there that has to do with them in being in need of great support of each other in a time of terrible tribulation. Hebrews 10:25. Now, when you read this, remember, it's to the Hebrews, but it's a good doctrine, but it's to the Hebrews. And it's to the same people in the Great Tribulation Accord. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. And here it is. Notice verse 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. This is the doctrine of the Great Tribulation. They're looking forward to that kingdom in which they will be kings and priests over the other nations. They'll be ministering priests and ruling kings over the other nations on this earth. And they are to look forward to that in a great tribulation, where there'll be a temptation to just give it all up and go take the mark of the beast, because the tribulation and the terror and the hunger and the pain and sickness of the great tribulation will be so great against them, and you know that there'll be a temptation to just give up. And they are to look forward to that kingdom, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. They are to hold fast the profession. They are to endure to the end. He that endures to the end shall be saved. That is not dispensation of grace doctrine. That is doctrine to the kingdom purpose in a great tribulation. Holding fast the profession of their faith without wavering. Man, and so they'll be in that tribulation, and they'll have to depend on each other in a way that'll be very important for support and for edification. That is very much different than now. It'll be a terrible tribulation under terrible stress and duress and pain and pressure and persecution, unlike anything unleashed today. And they'll be experiencing that, and they'll need a great support group, and they'll need to be together, and they'll have to, and the administration there is not saved by grace through faith without works, as Paul tells us. In our dispensation, you're saved by grace through faith without having to do any works. they're in a dispensation in which they will have to show their faith by their works. They're saved by grace through faith, but the way God administers his will toward them will be in relation to that earthly accord. So they'll have to be in a dispensation where they will be in an earthly accord, and they will have to not take the mark of the beast. They will have to not forsake the assembling of themselves together. They will have to not leave that group. They'll be a great support group for each other. And now let's go to another scripture that has to do with that particular thing. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. And look at what John says here in relation to this thing. Because they are the beloved of the kingdom, and it's very much important that they stay together as a close-knit group. Let's go to John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And it says here, let's look at some of the doctrine for that tribulation. 1 John chapter 2. Love not the world. Verse 15, and we're going to read down to 20. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For he that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's not dispensation of grace doctrine. He that doeth, the things in relation to that kingdom will be an administration toward them, and they will have to show faith by works. That's one of the things in their administration. Now, keeping in that understanding that he that doeth the will of God abideth forever in their doctrine, verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many, many Antichrists. Hereby we know that it is the last time. Look at verse 19 closely. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. It'll be very important that those kingdom saints be together in that accord for their kingdom in that great tribulation. And so when we see those scriptures about them and John and such like as being the beloved of God, it has to do with that tribulation purpose on this earth. And so there's a different administration of God's, that content of God's grace is administered in a different way than it is now. In this dispensation of grace, of course God wants us to assemble together as saints. And Paul speaks to those churches, and he wants them, and you can look in those church epistles of Paul for our dispensation of grace, and you can see him exhorting the saints to be close-knit as a group. But their salvation is not in relation to showing faith by works. In our dispensation, it's not he that doeth being saved. It like Romans chapter 4 verse 5 says, in this dispensation, the content is, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We're in a dispensation where you can be in one assembly of a group, and you can leave and go somewhere else and go fishing. And of course, I'm not saying that's a good thing to do. I'm not trying to, you know, don't go by Leo's word and go fishing because Leo said it. It's good to, for saints to assemble and to edify each other. But the point is you don't, your salvation is not shown by you splitting from a group of saints. As we know, we're in this dispensation where it's to him that worketh not but believeth. And it is to the, it's, to, and in our dispensation, it's, we walk by faith, not by sight. The accord of James has to do with the accord of Hebrews through Revelation, of which Jude is a canon. Those beloved are in a dispensation where the doctrine to them is to show faith by works, as James 2 says. But of course we know it has to do with them being of the 12 tribes, James 1:1. So, I know I got a, I said it was going to be a short class, and I only got on one point. I hope I brought up some other points that may help the saints, and I don't ask you to agree with me or anything like that, but I'm willing to learn from you. And if you have something to say on this or have a question about this, but the point about it is that we're in a different dispensation. The dispensation of the grace of God. And we should understand we are to rightly divide the word of truth. And when we look at Hebrews through Revelation, of which John, Jude, and Hebrews is a court, we're looking at the kingdom for Israel. When we look in Romans through Philemon, those 13 letters Paul wrote, we're looking to what God is doing today. That future doctrine, we can learn from it, but it's not addressed to us. We can learn what will happen in the tribulation, and there are some great principles of God throughout his scriptures. But what's to us is paramount that we be edified and established in the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. I'm through for now. I'll continue.